First chapter of the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter number one. As you're turning there, we want to welcome you, each of you, to our worship service again this morning. Certainly do pray God's blessing on this portion of our service today. Ruth chapter number one is going to be my text as we continue our series, our survey of sorts, that we have entitled Our Kinsman Redeemer. Now, I am not planning preaching many messages from this book. It's only four chapters long, but that remains to be seen. I'm going to try to keep them down to about three or four messages at most. This will be our second, but in order to do that, I'm going to combine a lot of stuff. So buckle up and just hang on. We're going to go through it very quickly. Last week, we talked about some sinful choices that we make sometimes as God's people and the severe consequences that are sure to follow from those choices. Our lives pretty much amount many times to the sum total of the choices that we make day by day. And sometimes we face quite severe consequences for our sinful choices. Elimelech made a very bad decision. He chose to leave Bethlehem, Judah, and move to Moab. That decision brought disastrous consequences, not only to him, but to his entire family. Now, that's about all the review I'm going to do on last week's message. But I got to tell you this, folks, you cannot, if you are saved, listen to me, you cannot disregard the things of God, forsake the things of God, and not expect to see the chastening hand of God in your life. You mark that down. You better listen to me. Folks, those who are really saved and are out of fellowship, many times they are as dangerous as a cocked gun to all those that they love, to their spouse, to their children, to their grandchildren. God is good at getting your attention. And so I just want to emphasize that to you. Now, my message today, I don't know if it'll be any more pleasant or not. I hope in some ways that it will be. I have entitled my subject today, Three Wandering Widows. Now, I could have spelled the wandering there with an O, I suppose, instead of an A. Because I guarantee you these three women are wondering what in the world is going on and wondering what's going to happen next. I guess I got that right. I'm not an English scholar, but I think I've got those words right. I've entitled it like this because the verses that we're going to look at this morning give us a description of the journey of three women, two in particular, but three women by the name of Naomi, and by the name of Orpah, and by the name of Ruth. Now, I would encourage you, I'm not going to read all these verses, but I would encourage you to go back and reread the book of Ruth again this week. It would not take you all that long. But all three of these women had lost their husbands. And now they're faced with what has to be a very difficult, and can I say pivotal, decision in their life. And that's kind of what we're dealing with this morning. Now, if you'll just bear with me, it's going to take me a long time to set this thing up, mainly because I hope to be able to cram what should be two sermons into one sermon. Now, don't panic. I'm going to do it in a very timely fashion and get you out here close to on time anyway. But I'm going to put these two messages together primarily because I don't want to preach more messages than I intended, and yet I want to give you as complete of a picture as I can of what's going on in the book of Ruth. And so the first part of this will serve really as an introduction to the second message. I want to show you first how these three women are very representative in nature. And that is, these three women represent three different kinds of people, And I think probably we have all three of them represented here this morning. And then I want to show you how that, for some reason, for some people, the road home many times can be a long and difficult journey. I don't know why that is, but it always seems to be true. Listen to me. Once you start down that road of forsaking the things of God, and the longer you stay on that road, the more difficult it becomes to turn around. And so for some, the road home can be a long and difficult journey. Now, that's kind of the two themes I'm going to put together in one message. And now my text is a long one this morning, from verse 8 down to verse number 22. But for right now, let me read you verse 16, just for sake of time, because that kind of gives us what I think is the central message that I want you to get this morning. The Bible says in verse 16, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God." Now, I want to read just that one verse to you to start with, and I want to show you, and I'll narrate my way through the verses before this, but I want to show you how these three women are very representative in nature. Now, what I mean by that is that even though this is an actual historical account, listen, we're talking about three real individuals who had some very real experiences, who made some very real decisions, and who faced very real outcomes and consequences for those decisions that they made. But even though they are real people, and this is an historical account, it is much like most of the rest of the Old Testament, in that it is typical or representative in nature. These three women represent three different kinds of people. Now, I put this in because I guarantee you, all of us can relate to at least one of these women. They faced difficult decisions, and each of them faced different outcomes. For example, in the first place, we have the mother by the name of Naomi. Now, I would say that Naomi represents a woman of compromise. Now, that may sound harsh, but you will recall that Naomi, along with her husband, made a terrible decision to leave Bethlehem, Judah, which is, of course, the house of praise, the house of bread, and to move to Moab. Now, I would suggest to you, Naomi is representative of the wayward Christian. She is somebody that evidently knows the Lord, somebody who has experienced the goodness of God, the grace of God in her life. But for whatever reason, and I'm sure at the time it seemed like a good excuse, you are good at trying to justify yourself in the eyes of God, aren't you? But for whatever reason, she made that decision, and folks, she faced disastrous consequences. I guarantee you, Naomi lived to regret the decision she made to move to Moab. Now, I'm just here to tell you, folks, for those of you that know the Lord, for those of you that have experienced God's goodness, God's grace in your life, I mean, think about what God has done for you, and then for you to turn your back upon the things of God, start forsaking the things of God, I guarantee you, one way or the other, you're going to live to regret that decision, you see. Now, we see that. You can read this account for yourself. I'm just going to narrate it for you. But we see that in two primary ways. In verses 8 through 13, in the first place, we see that in her indifference. Now, What I mean by that, if you read verse, I think it's number 8 and 9, basically Naomi says this to her daughter-in-law. She says, girls, listen, I don't have anything for you. So my advice to you is to go back to Moab and live there. Go back to your mother's house. I'm putting in my language, but and I hope it works out for you. I hope you find rest. But you stay here in Moab. Now, in my way of thinking, those two verses of Scripture are terrible, if you really think about it. Naomi had an opportunity to be a very positive witness in the lives of these two young women. And yet, you know what she said? Listen, you all stay in Moab. You know, she was so wrapped up in her own world, in her own pain, in her own problems, that she was so indifferent to what she was telling these young girls to do. Now listen to me. If you are like Naomi, if you have begun to wander away from the things of God, folks, don't try to tell me. Listen, you become completely indifferent to the things of God and to the needs of other people. Don't try to tell me if you are out of church, if you're out of God's house, well, I still serve God. I still worship God. I can't tell how many people say, preacher, I know I'm not coming to church like I should, and I stay out of the house of God, but I'm still living for God. I'm still worshiping God. I'm still serving God. No, you are not. No, you're not. Folks, you are absolutely, you're indifferent to the things of God, else you would be in God's house, right? You're absolutely useless in the cause of Christ in that condition. Now, boy, that sounds harsh. I said it was going to be nicer, but it's true. So we see it in her indifference. Then we see it in her insinuation. And what I mean by that, she basically says, listen, I've got no hope whatsoever. I've got nothing for you. Man, isn't that a picture, a terrible picture of a Christian that is out of fellowship? Can I just tell you from experience in my life, I've been there. I have been there many times, unfortunately, in my life. And there is nothing more miserable on this earth than someone who is really saved, and yet they're out of the house of God. They're out of the will of God. You are a miserable, miserable human being. So we have Naomi. She is a woman of compromise. And then the second woman is a woman by the name of Orpah, her daughter-in-law. And if Naomi is a woman of compromise, Orpah is a woman of confusion. And we have a lot of those in our midst also. Now, there's not much revealed to us about Orpah. But I tell you one thing I do know. She is like those who have been exposed to the gospel, and yet they will not submit to the gospel. She is part of Naomi's family, and yet she's different. She's distant, if you will. She is somebody like somebody who's heard the gospel, and yet they do not know Christ as their Savior. You know. Now, we've got a bunch of them. We may even have some of them on our church rolls. Isn't that a frightening thought? They're the kind of people that hang around for a while. They are familiar with the things of God. They may stay a few weeks. They may stay several weeks. They may stay a few months. They may stay several months. They may even stay a few years. But eventually they go right back to the world. You say, well, that means they lost their salvation. No, 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 no. They never had salvation to start with. Now, if you're like that, you better listen to the lesson of Orpah. So many of you sitting here this morning, you have sat in the Lord's church pretty much all of your life. You have heard the gospel about every way it can be preached. You have been privileged above so many people on the face of this earth. You have heard the gospel over and over again, but you do not know Christ as your Savior. You refuse, you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, you better take heed to the message and to the lesson of a woman by the name of Orpah. She went back into Moab, you see. Well, thirdly, we have Ruth. And if Naomi was a woman of compromise and Orpah was a woman of confusion, I would say Ruth is a woman of conviction. I mean, we read what Ruth said. In the first place, she absolutely abandons herself. That's what you got to do. You got to come to the end of yourself. You know what? Now listen, Moab is all that she knew. She was raised there. That's all she knew in her life. And yet, listen, Ruth stands as a stark reminder, folks. God can change people's hearts. Thank God. God can change people's lives. I've seen it. I've experienced it in my own self. You see, I once lived and dwelt in Moab myself. But God delivered me, met my need, saved my soul. And I want to be like Ruth. Ruth said, listen, you know what? Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you dwell, that's where I'm going to dwell. That's where I'm going to live. She completely abandoned herself. And then she acknowledged God. Thy people shall be my people. And listen, thy God shall be my God. I want to tell you, that young woman, folks, God worked the work of grace in her life. God worked in her heart. And she had a lot of conviction. I want to be like Ruth, don't you? So what I'm saying is that you can see then how these women are very represented. In fact, I would venture a guess that each of us can see ourselves in one of these women. Are you like Naomi? Has God been good to you in your life? Has God worked the work of grace in your heart? Can you point to a time and say, that's when I was saved? But whatever reason, you have decided to forsake the things of God, to forsake the house of God, and go back to the world. You better listen to the lesson of Naomi. Or are you like Orpah, who have been familiar with the things of God your whole life, and you have yet to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ? You better listen to the lesson of Orpah. I want to be like Ruth, don't you? I want to be a person of conviction. Now, if I have at least got you more familiar with this chapter, here's what happens in this. Now, forgive me, I'm cramming two into one here, but I want to paint you as complete a picture as I can. Took me a long time to set it up, but here's the lesson I want you to get. For whatever reason, sometimes it takes a long time for some people to turn around and come back to God. It is a long and sometimes perilous and difficult journey for those who are really saved and they fall into sin and out of fellowship. God has to put them through some bad stuff sometimes, and their family through bad stuff, before they finally turn around and come home. Now, Naomi and her husband makes that decision that we preached on last week to leave the house of praise, Bethlehem, Judah, and to move to Moab. And folks, that decision came back to haunt not only her, but her entire family. I'm telling you, you cannot forsake the things of God and not face the chastening hand of God. Now, let me read the rest of my text then. In verse number 19, the Bible says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me? And listen, the Almighty hath afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the the barley harvest. Now, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. For some people, it is a long journey home. And I don't know why that is, but it is true. Now, let me divide these few verses that I read to you at the end there in three simple ways. I want to try to paint a picture of this journey home for Naomi and for Ruth. In the first place, I want you to understand that she returned to a very important town. Now, I throw that in, write that down, because here's where I'm going with this. Folks, I believe that Bethlehem, in this case, Bethlehem, Judah, is also very representative in nature. Though it is an actual place, a glorious place, yet it is typical, it is representative, I believe, of God's house. I'm going to tell you, Christian believer, if you're really saved, the short of it is you ought to be in God's house. Do not try to convince me you love the Lord and you don't go to church hardly. It don't work. Now, understand, verse 19 says Verse 19. And so they went, the two went until they came to Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem, I don't need to dwell on this too long, but Bethlehem is a very important place in the scriptures. Listen, God had a lot there for the people of God. You have to wonder, what in the world would possess somebody to ever leave the house of bread or the house of praise? Now, there's several things that made Bethlehem very important. I'll run through these very quickly. In the first place, it was a place of exaltation. Of course, Bethlehem was located in the land of Judah. The word Judah means praise, house of praise. Add to that, Bethlehem itself means house of bread. And so it was a very significant and important place, not only to God, but to the people of God, you see. It was important. It was the place, folks, it was the place where God was praised. It was the place where God was recognized as being the true and living God. It was the very place, also, Bethlehem being called the house of bread, it was the very place that God later on would make his appearance in the form of man. It was that from that place, the very bread of life himself would make his appearance one day. So I hope you would agree with me that made Bethlehem a very important place. It was the place where God was exalted. Now, here's what I want you to get. There is no record of a tabernacle ever being in Moab. What that means is there's no record of any public worship going on in Moab. I'm sorely tempted to chase a rabbit trail here and go back for what we talked about last week. I have seen so many people wreck their Christian walk because they moved to a town for a J-O-B, and then they start looking for a church. You got it backwards. You look for a church first, And if there is none there, don't take the job. You say, well, that's easy for you to say. Hey, it is easy for me. My Savior said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not second, first. And then all these things shall be added unto you. But there's no record of a tabernacle in Moab. There's no record of a public worship in Moab. So here's the picture I want you to get. For 10 years, Naomi dwelt in Moab and had no church to go to. I put it in today's terms. She did not. In fact, I would venture a guess that was one of the furthest things from her mind. You say, why do you say that? Because she was in Moab. She was in the world. Don't try to convince me you love the Lord if the church does not hold a prominent place in your life. Right? Folks, God's people want to be in God's house. And I'll say this. I want to be around people that want to praise God. That's the kind of people I want to commune with. I've had church members who quit coming to church. Then later on they complain, preacher, you don't call me as much as you used to. You're the one that left. Huh? Or fuss about the church members not checking in on them. You're the one that left. And they say, we don't get together anymore. You know why? I want to be around people and commune with people that want to praise God and that want to worship. It is important because it is a place of exaltation. The second thing, it's important because it is a place of visitation. You read verse number 6. Folks, it was at Bethlehem that God visited his people. Now, the spiritual application is evident. You want to be visited by God? Feel the presence of God? You know where it's going to be? It's going to be in God's house. I guarantee you, while in Moab, she did not feel the presence of God in her life. I'm just going to tell you, you start laying out of church, you're going to act more unsaved than you do saved. God may visit with you while you're in Moab, but he'll visit you in rebuke and in correction and in chastening if you're really saved. If you can stay out, it doesn't bother you, you're not saved. Sure aren't. But God will not visit you with his presence. It was a place of exaltation. It was a place of visitation. It was a place of provision. What's ironic, she left Bethlehem, Judah, the house of praise and the house of bread, to find sustenance in Moab. You know what she found? She found trouble and sorrow. You want to know why? She was looking for it in all the wrong places, folks. If you are really saved, folks, you're not going to find what you need in this world. No matter what it is. The fourth thing, and I really got a boogie. I throw that in because people like to hear me say that. The fourth thing I see is that Bethlehem is a place of association. Now, I throw that in because I didn't know how better to say it than this. Bethlehem was a place where God's people gathered. It was a special place. Can I just tell you, Faith Baptist Church is a special place. It is. Now, I've been called an old fuddy-duddy. I don't know why I'm thinking of these things while I'm standing here preaching, but it just popped in my head, so I don't have much of a filter. If it pops in my head, it pops out of my mouth. I count Baptist Church as a special place. I do. Now, I'm not a legalist, but I want to wear my best to Faith Baptist Church. Come on. If you're meeting with a dignitary, I guarantee you, if a person in a high office in the land said he wanted to meet with you, man, you'd wear your best. Try to impress him. Listen, you're meeting with the Lord himself. Now, I'm not saying you got to wear this or wear that. But you wear your best. This is God's house. Now, you tie all four of these things together. She came to a very important town. There is nothing like God's people gathering together in God's house. If you're really saved and you're not there, you're going to know it. Here's the sad part. I thought about this as I was putting this message together. Do you think I would exaggerate if I said that there's more professed Christians out of church than there are who attend church? I read that 48% of those who profess to be saved attend church more than once a month. Something's wrong. I wrote this down. There's a famous preacher said this. He said, "I consider everyone a traitor and apostate from religion who perversely withdraws himself from any Christian society." Now, boy, is that's harsh. I get harsh sometimes, but that's harsh. I'll just say there's something wrong with your heart if you don't want to be in God's house on God's day. So, number one, she returned to an important town. Number two, she returned at a very important time. Now, again, allow me here my spiritual application. Because the Bible says in verse number 22 that they return at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, there's several things that makes that an important time. And I'm nearly out of time, but I'll run through these very quickly. Number one, that meant it was a time of sacrifice. In fact, you go back and you read Leviticus chapter 23. You better read it several times because I've read it several times and it still jumbles my brain. It's more than I can handle. But here's what it says. At the beginning of the barley harvest, you know what happened? Passover. Passover, of course, was a perpetual ordinance for Israel when they would remember when the blood of the lamb was put on through the doorpost and the lintel, and God said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." Hallelujah. Still important to us today as believers. We sing, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." It's what happens. Folks, the shed blood of Calvary is very special to us. And she returned at the time of sacrifice. It was special. The second thing about this time, it was also a time of security. You go back and you read again, at the barley harvest was when they did the Feast of the First Fruits. Now, what the Feast of the First Fruits was, that the priest would take the sheaves from the first, that of which that was harvested, the harvest, and they would wave it before the Lord. It's called the wave offering. It was in recognition of God's blessing upon them. You know, God had blessed them with harvest, and it was also a promise of a harvest of that yet to come. She came back at a time of the Feast of the First Fruits. What's ironic about that, she left because of famine, and God visited the people of God with bread. Isn't that glorious? It was a feast, also a sufficiency. I mean, she left, she said, full. There was a time of famine, and she said, "I came back empty." It was a new beginning. You know what the way it is when you're out of fellowship? I've experienced it. And you come back to the Lord, it is almost like getting saved all over again. It is. It's a brand new beginning. Now, again, you take those three things together. She came back at the perfect time. Right now is the time, folks. If you wandered away from God, to come back. Then the last thing, it was not only, she not only came back at a to an important town in a very intriguing time, but she came back with a very impressive testimony. I love what she says in verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. I love that. Listen to me. It'll teach you a valuable lesson. If you are like, if you can relate to Naomi, then you better listen to the lesson Naomi's teaching you. I've had people say, well, that preacher is just gunning for me in his message this morning. I always say, no, I'm not. I'm just preaching. But if the shoe fits, wear it. But if you're like Naomi and you're not near as faithful as you used to be, listen, I testify against you today. You better listen to the lesson of Naomi. I mean, she talks about God's correction first. Here's what she said. I went out full and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me? I tell you what, Naomi learned that her time in Moab came at a great price. God had afflicted her. Can I say to you again, you cannot betray and forsake the things of God and not expect God to chasten you. God's good at his job. And to those you love, you are dangerous as a cock gun. You better listen to the lesson of Naomi. Secondly, she speaks of God's care. I went out full, and she says, and the Lord hath brought me home again. I guarantee you, while Naomi was in Moab, she hardly gave God a second thought. For all the people that tell me, yeah, I really think I'm saved, but I don't go to church. You're trying to fool yourself. You're not fooling God. You hardly give God a second thought. But let me tell you, if you're really saved, God always thinks on you. Naomi said, I'm the one that went out. You can't blame the church. You can't blame the preacher. It's your fault. You're the one that went out. She said, I'm the one that went to Moab. I'm the one that turned my back on the things of God. I did all that, and yet it was the Lord that brought me home. Now, the lesson is more than just three widows wondering. The lesson is really what happens to a child of God who turns his back on the things of God. I sit and think about what God, listen, God is so good to me. I'm overwhelmed. When I look back at my life and I see how God has blessed me down through my life, how in the world can I now turn my back on the things of God? Listen to verse 22 and we'll close in prayer again. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now is the time to return, folks. Listen, I say this often, but I fantasize sometimes about what Faith Baptist Church would be like if all the members of Faith Baptist Church would be here and be faithful. It'd be an amazing thing. Let's pray. Stand together. Let's pray. Father,